B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
4 o'clock hour, Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic, the 4 o'clock hour. It's brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create jaw-dropping outdoor paradise. Online at LandisBC.com. And they also bring us our regular Friday guests from 4 to 5 every Friday. The great number 36, Brian Westbrook, joins us. Hello, B. West.
Good afternoon, Mikey Miss. How are you?
Doing good. All right, training camp is fully engaged here. I watched Hard Knocks last night. Did you happen to catch it?
No, I didn't catch it. I told my wife that we're boycotting HBO just before for the principal. I think I have enough money to pay the extra $15 a month, but I feel like I shouldn't have to pay $200 a month to have HBO and all the other channels. So I'm boycotting. So until I can, you know,
$200, you're getting off cheap.
What? Your cable's more than that?
Yes, it is.
Oh wow!
I gotta check this. Maybe I'm getting fleeced.
Mine's more than that.
Yours is more than that too,
yeah.
Tyrone. Tyler?
Yours is too.
Wow. All right. Well, Liz, you shouldn't be complaining about two bills.
Well, maybe it's more than that. Maybe my wife has only told me about 200.
Yeah,
that's the other side. So no, I haven't seen it. How was it last night? It's with the Rams,
well,
correct?
It's with the Chargers.
Oh, Chargers. That's
yeah.
Right.
It wasn't that good. It's hard to be good. You know, they're doing a lot of pandemic stuff, and the Justin Herbert thing is kind of interesting, and you know, kind of fawning over how he's throwing the ball and stuff like that. But I can't imagine it's going to be that good. But let's talk about first of all a couple things that happened. The one thing that affects the Eagles, George Kittle, 5 years, $75 million, kind of sets a price for Ertzy. What do you think about that contract?
Well, I think he deserved it. I think he's a heartbeat of that team. And when you look at what he's able to do, I mean, the difference between him and Ertz, and I still think Ertz is a very good tight end, probably the third best tight end in football, is his ability to block on the end of the line of scrimmage. You know, that separates him from Zach Ertz. I mean, he's a great catch after, you know, run after the catch type of guy. But, you know, for Ertz, what does this mean? That means it's payday. That's what that means. He sets the standard, and Ertz probably wants to come in a little bit less than that. Unfortunately, if you're Philadelphia, you can't pay him. I mean, that's what it is. And I love Zach Ertz, and I know they love him there on the squad, but you can't pay Zach Ertz that type of money when you have Dallas Goedert waiting in the wings. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, so we're probably talking about the end of Zach Ertz here, huh?
Well, I mean, no, it doesn't have to be that way. Zach Ertz doesn't have to demand, you know, the third best or second best money. He doesn't have to demand that. If he wants to stay, he can pay for a little bit less than that.
What would you do?
If I'm the third best tight end in the league, I want to get paid like the third best tight end in the league.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just how it works. But again, you know, I know his wife is, you know, are here too. And so they may not want to leave. And a lot of other factors go into players and some of their salary demands as well. So, it still depends. It still depends.
All right. Kittle, Travis Kelce also got an extension. 4 year, 57, 2.5. Now, he had 2 years remaining on his contract, mm-hmm. right? So that's mm-hmm. that's 6 years more years for him? Or does this other contract get ripped up?
The other one gets ripped up. They want to reward him and also get some cap relief because they started the offseason with $170 in cap space. Yet they were able to re-sign the quarterback, the tight end, and a couple at the defensive end.
Wow.
Ironically enough, as much money as they gave Patrick Mahomes, I think in a couple of years they're going to be saying, you know, we got a deal on this kid, especially mm-hmm. if he continues to get better at the rate that he continues to play at. I mean, and that's crazy to say, but there may be feeling into year five of that contract that they may have gotten a deal with signing him early and paying him as much money as they're paying him.
All right. I'm kind of left out in the cold here with this Eagles thing. We get like feature stories every now and then, but it's not like you can reach out and touch this kind of a camp. You know, there's going to be a pool reporter. It's just not going to be this. We're not going to learn enough about our team, I don't think.
Yeah, you got to have the end with some of the players. And, you know, this is an easy way for the players to be tight-lipped. I know Andy Reid loves this type of camp because this is how he wanted to run it, where it was just the players and that's it. But it's a little bit different now. And I think that, you know, especially the one thing that we saw from the preseason games that we've had, obviously, every other year, the NFL, was we kind of already knew that some of the vets weren't going to play very much. And we already knew we were going to get from some of the vets. We won't have an idea of who are going to be those other players. Who are going to be those players that we can add, you know, that can help us on special teams, that can help us on offense and defense situations that we wouldn't have known of except for plays in the preseason. And so that's the one thing that we kind of won't get this season, and some of those close inside looks inside the team as well. As we go through without having the preseason games.
Yeah, and it's going to be very strange on how they handle this with the protocol and everything. I don't know what. I'll make you a player in this camp. All right, you got to practice. You mask up. You do all the things that you're supposed to do. After practice, what do? Boom. Right back home?
Yeah. If you're a responsible player and you're doing what the protocol calls for, yeah, you're right back home. Now, I'll say this. I think it's easier said than done doing training camp. I mean, I just think that it is, because normally you're in training camp, you're in training camp mode, and in that training camp thought process and mode, it's football all day long. You go home, you call your girlfriend or your wife on the way home, you talk to them on FaceTime, and then you're right back to training camp mode. But then the season comes, and the season mode is a little bit different than training camp mode, because you have a couple of days off, and you know, you have Monday and Tuesday usually off. You have a half day on Friday. You have a half day on Saturday. So you have much more free time. And that's where I think the issues may come into play for some of the players. What am I supposed to do with my free time if I'm not a video game guy? What am I supposed to do with my free time if I don't have a family to worry about? If my family's staying back in our hometown, what do I do at that point? To me, that's where the problems may lay if you find any problems at all.
So what happened in Seattle, Tyron?
Tyler,
what happened in Seattle?
Yeah, so one of their rookies tried to sneak a friend into their area.
Camp.
Yeah, into camp.
Into the hotel
room. With a Seahawks jersey on. Tried to disguise her as a player.
like what they do with the hair.
It was all tucked in. Tucked in under the jersey and everything to look like a player.
You got snagged?
Yes, it's a rookie. He was only he wasn't a high priority rookie. So you know what they did?
They busted him.
They cut him.
Yeah,
he's up out of there, and now that's a warning to everybody. But yeah, he tried to sneak in a girl, not go to her house or leave. He tried to bring her up in the hotel to his room.
Classic.
And they called him.
Classic.
See, that's a no-no. Whether you're in a quarantine environment or not, that's just a no-no. I mean, we had that same type of rule up in Lehigh, not to bring anyone, not even our family, up to our rooms inside the dorms, and certainly would be the same in this environment. To have friends and family up to your room. Yeah. if you're an undrafted rookie, you don't have any room to make mistakes, and that's a huge mistake.
Yeah, that's hysterical.
And what did he think with the jersey part? Like, it's one thing, it's better off to try to disguise her as hotel staff. The jersey? No one's going to believe that, even if she's a tall woman.
Here's the other question. Who's telling him? I mean, if you're a security guard or whoever found this out, are you telling on this guy? Or are you just saying, you know what, man, I understand?
It's on video.
Oh, okay.
See, they got all these guys.
So they're reviewing all the video.
All the teams that are currently in the hotels, the NFL, it's mandatory that they have a security officer looking over. And the security officer is supposed to be neutral. He's not supposed to be a team employee. He's supposed to be an NFL employee.
Yeah, that's bad.
So, you know.
That's amazing.
I think at the link, I don't think anybody tried to bring a girl up into the, there is a NFL security guy there doing the same thing. It's just, what are the odds that somebody tries to bring a girl to the weight room?
Let me ask you a couple questions there's four teams that have interesting decision to make a quarterback. And so let's go down a list and see how you feel about each one of these. So let's first start in New England. Does Cam start, or do they go with Stidham?
Well, it's been my belief that you don't bring in an ex-MVP, a guy that is super talented, obviously Heisman winner, number one draft pick overall, to be your backup to a guy that has really never played an entire season in the season. I mean, in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if I'm Jared Stidham, as soon as they said or mentioned Cam Newton coming in, I already knew what the deal was. I'm the second string. So in my mind, there's no question, unless Cam just goes out there and refuses to learn an offense. Other than that, the Cam, of course, is going to be your starting quarterback, because he gives them the best chance to win. And no matter what Bill Belichick says, he wants the best chance to win. If that means taking the player, Randy Boss, if that means taking the player that you don't think could necessarily fit your team or your offense, Corey Dillon or Chad Johnson, then they'll take him. And they have to try to find a way to make him fit. And I think they'll do the same thing with Cam Newton.
All right, let's go to Miami. Tua or Fitz?
You know, so Brian Flores, the old New England coach who's now the coach down there in Miami, he had that team playing hard all season long. They gave, you know, obviously they beat New England at the end of the season last year in that last game, and that hurt New England as far as, you know, getting the bye and things like that in the playoffs. And I just think he plays to win. And when you go into camp, and I have to believe with Tua being healthy that he can win out that job, especially with the eyes of that franchise on him. If they can protect him, then he should be able to play. The hard problem is that they've had a couple of wide receivers, which is an important position for a quarterback, opt out and say that they don't want to play this season. So some of their faster guys have opted out, and now they have probably guys like Mac Hollins starting. And, you know, that wasn't what Tua was signing up for when he went to Miami and got drafted there and probably thinking about it in the offseason. But I still think you go with Tua, the young talent. He's going to be the face of the franchise. I start him right away.
All right, let's go to Chicago, where our old pal, Nikki, is in a battle with Trubisky. Who starts?
I got to go with Nick Foles. I mean, I don't know. You know, I think talent-wise, Trubisky's probably a little bit better, you know, and he's younger, but he's so unreliable. He's so up and down. I would go with Nick Foles. I'm a big believer in the old reliable veteran, at least to start you out. And if, let's say Nick Foles can't get it done, then you can always go back to Trubisky. But I just can't see, again, why would you bring a guy like Nick Foles in if you weren't going to at least give him a chance to start? And I think he wins that position if he has that opportunity. And plus, he knows Matt Nagy very well. And so they've been around each other for a few years. And so, you know, I think Matt Nagy knows exactly what he's getting out of Nick Foles. And that kind of gives him just a bit of an edge in my mind.
All right, last team, the Washington Football Club. Haskins, Kyle Allen, or maybe a miracle comeback from Alex Smith?
I think you go Haskins. I mean, he should be your first option. He played, you know, some decent games last year. He just wasn't very good. And I don't know that coaching staff helped him at all. And the environment in Washington has been very bad for a long time. And I have to think that Ron Rivera brings in a different type of offense and thought process where you're not putting as much pressure on the quarterback. And you're saying, okay, we're going to run the ball and play some defense. And if our quarterback can make a play from time to time, we're going to allow him to do that. And with that, I think Haskins has the ability to flourish because he doesn't have the pressure of going out and winning games. The other part about Washington last year is that defensively, they just couldn't stop anybody, even though they had some good players. And I think they got even better with a guy like Chase Young. They have to come a long way defensively so that their offense isn't fighting that uphill battle week in and week out.
All right. This would be a good time now to tell you about that. We had an amazing drop of food here today. Our good friends at Dietz and Watson and Bria and Latella's Italian American Deli in Havertown, PA, brought us some sandwiches. They're family owned. Bria and Latella's Italian American Deli and Kitchen in Havertown, PA, serves up some of the most delicious sandwiches in Delaware County. Try one of their signature sandwiches, like the Junior. Now, Junior's made with Dietz and Watson Genoa salami, capagola, imported ham, pepperoni, and cheese, served on fresh Sarcone's bread. Now, Tyler, did you have one of those?
I had one of the turkey ones.
Oh, yeah, turkey. Yeah. You don't have a Junior?
I did not. I wasn't sure what it was until I read the read.
Really? Now, the reason I bring this up now is because I got my dog in here. My dog is in the studio today.
Nice.
I had some cleaning people come in, so I had to take her in the studio because I forgot that she goes to daycare on Thursdays. So I brought her in. So I got a half-eaten chicken salad sandwich in here. Uh-huh. Yeah, this dog is climbing up on me for the last 10 minutes. Nice. Climbing up, so I'm getting distracted. So I got to handle this right here. Hold on a second. I got to get her a piece of this chicken salad.
There you go.
Are you going to give it a piece, huh? Are you a table food type of dog person? Like you like to give them table food from time to
she
time?
I can't resist her. Mm. Now she eats her own food. It's not like she just I spoiled over table food. But right. If I'm sitting around eating, she'll hop up with the little paws on the chair. I want a little morsel. Yeah, Mike, she's doing that right now.
Mike's a real softy with this dog.
Yeah, she's got the sandwich.
I believe that.
She got the sandwich scent. So, like, she's relentless right now. All right. So let me move it on to the Flyers. Okay. I know you were paying attention to every drop of the puck last night, right?
Of course. Of course. I went back and watched it again this morning. I was so excited.
Can I actually talk some Flyer hockey with you?
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah, no, right. Yeah. If you want a real answer, then you have another answer to that.
So you got to get on board. The squad may win a Stanley Cup, Ryan, from your old professional hometown team.
I'm excited for the Flyers. I really, really am. I just, you know, it's been really hard for me. And listen, I've been kind of in the analyst profession for a little bit here, and it's just been so hard for me to get into hockey. I mean, almost impossible.
This is interesting. Now tell me why. Because you grew up in Washington, D.C. area. The Capitals, yes. A very popular team down there.
Yes,
and,
they are.
And they never moved you, huh?
Nope. And, you know, I think probably part of the reason, and this is probably the reason why in a lot of minority communities, you know, you don't have access to ice time. You rarely ever have anyone in your community that teaches you hockey. And so for you to get excited about the game is just, it's almost impossible. And that probably has carried me through my entire life just because I haven't been exposed to it in that way. I've been to maybe a couple of games here and there, but it just didn't catch me. I'll tell you this, though. When I did go to the game, I went with my wife, and just trying to learn the strategy of it and, you know, the power play, things like that. That was kind of fun. That was interesting, but I just couldn't. I couldn't get into it.
But it hasn't pulled you in yet. It
hasn't pulled me in. No.
All right. Well, then we'll bypass the Flyer analysis. Let's move on. Let's move on to the Sixers.
That's
all
right.
What am I going to do? Am I going to press him to the wall here?
No. I wasn't talking about you. Brian's a violation.
Well, listen. He was honest. He was honest about it. I'll give him that.
He was.
Am I supposed to know about the Flyers hockey team right now? Really?
Yes.
And the Caps
come on,
Mikey
Miss every Friday from 4 to 5. They won last night during the Stanley Cup playoffs. B-West, you got to take one for the hockey squad.
The next, I guarantee the next game I'm going to watch.
Tomorrow afternoon.
Tomorrow afternoon.
3 o'clock.
I'm free tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock. I'm going to be watching. And I'm going to be tweeting about the game tomorrow afternoon. How about that?
Bring the horses in early. Nestle in. Watch some hockey.
That's right. I'm there.
All right. Let's talk Sixers. The eight games is all decided. They're going to play the Boston Celtics. I frankly didn't think that was going to happen. I thought they were going to be able to pass Indiana, but they haven't. Circumstances have caused that. It looks like no Ben Simmons for at least the first round, maybe not even the second round. And when all is said and done here, this team going into the playoffs, what's your feel?
Well, you know, obviously it's disappointing not having Ben. You know, to win in the NBA, you have to have two plus stars, right? You have to have the ability to have two plus stars, and you got to have that third guy that can go get you 20 points. And he may not be a star, but he can get you 20 points in a decent way pretty much every night during the playoffs. And right now, without Ben, it seems like it's going to be hard for that to happen for the Sixers. And the truth is, in this current position, which is the four spot, I thought it was going to be hard for them to win in that first round anyway, especially with the shakeup.
Against Miami, you thought it would be hard.
Well, I thought it would be hard for them to win in the first round of the playoffs, no matter who they played, if they had been playing the four. Only because he's not used to
the
position.
Like that.
And I just didn't love that move there at this time of the season. So, you know, I think it's going to be tough, but listen, Joel Embiid can go off for, you know, 35, 40 a night. I think they can be in a game. They're going to have to play defense like they've never played defense before, and it's going to be an up-and-down, relentless basketball game. The question is, can you find a way to slow down Jason Tatum every single night? And that's going to be hard for the Sixers to do.
Yes. So when we look at – first of all, you're – are you in favor of breaking the Ben Embiid thing up? You wanted to trade Ben? You've seen enough?
Well, I think it's a bad fit for those two. Big man, you have to have a shooter or a scorer, you know, that's going to control the ball. Ben controls the ball, and he just doesn't shoot well enough. That's going to be a fatal flaw with a big man. Now, if you want to break him up, which I would have suggested a couple of years ago in my mind, you got to find someone that can, you know, score. Here it is, Mike, and I think I might have heard you say it the other day. That's where the Markelle Fultz hurts you the most.
Yep.
because when coming out of college, that's what he was, a guy that can dominate the ball, get to the basket, create for himself, and shoot. You don't have that guy anymore. And the guy that you drafted to be that guy doesn't even play on the doggone team anymore. So that's kind of where it hurts. Yeah. But, yeah, I think they're a man short in this series, unfortunately.
Yeah, all right. We're going to continue this conversation about Ben because I want to probe.
Ben here. You think Ben has potential to get better.
First of all, there's no way that you get a player good enough in return for Ben Simmons. Because the only two players I would trade him for are Luka Doncic and Booker. And those teams aren't going to give up those players for Ben Simmons. Otherwise, you're not getting the value and you're defeating your whole purpose. So in my mind, it's better to go 1 and maybe 2 years more to see if you can make this thing work rather than try to hurt yourself.
We'll talk about it.
We'll take a break. 610-632-0975. Mike Mussinelli Show. Brian Westbrook with us till 5. Back after this.
The Mike Mussinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
All right, let's do a Twitter Pro update at 4:30 from Tyler Zilli, who's filling in for Nat today. Tyler, what do the numbers say?
So the question is, the Flyers had some struggles with the Canadians in Game 1 last night. Are you nervous at all? Just under 600 votes so far, still pretty wide margin. 84% say no, they still won the game. 16% say yes, they look shaky.
Okay, there you go, Brian. Is your first lesson.
Okay, there it is.
All right, let's get a couple calls in here. Then I want to talk about this Ben thing, because I think this is going to be a spirited discussion. Let's go. Mike is calling from Seattle. Mike, what's going on in Seattle today?
Just taking my call. Not a whole lot at all. It's just a nice day, and I'm just kind of chilling out by this little garden. It's great. So you guys kind of, I wanted to break the news to you about that Seattle rookie, because that's it's like the first thing I saw a couple hours ago. You know, that would have been great. But what do you guys think? If that was like if that's a second, third, fourth round pick, you think they still cut him?
I don't know if he's a first round pick, they cut him.
No, he's undrafted. In fact, he's only been playing corner.
Yeah, that's an easy call. That's an easy call. If he's undrafted. Yeah.
So anyway, listening a couple hours ago, you said the Phillies need to bring up Hammer, if I heard you correctly. Phillies already got Hammer. His name's J.D. Hammer. So he's sitting down in the minor leagues with his glasses and his mullet, looking like we just poked him out of a slap shot. I couldn't tell you a single inning he pitched this year, but I remember when we had him up last year or 2 years ago, he had flair, he had a little bit of swag, and you know what, he's actually fun to watch, and that's something I can't say about a single one of these guys anymore.
Yeah, but he went bad. J.D.
Betty?
Yeah, he went bad. They kept him in the organization, and he does throw hard, so I'm sure that he'll get a chance as well.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, I saw when they demoted the two guys, I was hoping they would bring him up, just because he's one of the guys who, at the very least, makes the game a little bit more fun to watch. But you know, like I said,
he wasn't even on their 60 man though. They didn't really think much of him. Now they brought up a guy who throws 95. Brogdon has an arm, so we'll see.
Cool. Cool, yeah, I think the game's starting now, so I'm about to switch over.
Are you related to J.D. Hammer? Are you related to him? Like,
I'm not part of the J.D. Hammer.
What's the effect? Because he looked like Ricky Vaughn?
Yeah, well, I'm a big hockey guy. Thanks for pumping the Flyers up, by the way. You do deserve some of this credit. So,
thank you. I need thank you cards from Flyer fans.
I'll send you a thank you card. Where do I send it to? How do I get to the studio?
The studio, One Bala Plaza, fourth floor, Bala Kenwood, PA. Plaza. Send your thank you cards to me, Flyer fans. I'll mention your name on the air if you send me a thank you card. You get a special mention.
Perfect. You got a deal. All right, thanks, guys. I'm going to pop this game on, Mr. Westbrook.
All right.
Be on the same line with you.
All right, brother. There you go. Yeah, see, Brian, my whole thing is, Flyer fans have hated me for years because I've been dissatisfied with the product. And Flyer fans are very happy normally with the product, no matter what's put in front of them. So I was bucking against that trend, and I became their public enemy number one. But what the Flyers are now is exactly what I've wanted them to be all these years.
And you have forced the Flyers to become that.
I think maybe I've helped a little bit. I mean, I shouldn't get hatred on social media all the time from it. I should get it. Hey, thanks, Mike. I see what you're trying to do.
Yeah. People never give you that. People like to hate on you, Mike. For whatever reason. They like to hate on you.
Why? Because I tell like it is, and sometimes it's against what they're thinking. So rather than open their mind and say, well, maybe I'll consider that viewpoint, they come at me.
You know, I think it's fun to hate on you. I think that may be true what you said. I just think it's kind of fun to hate on Mikey Miss.
All right. Well, you know, I got to take it.
It's fun for me. I'll tell you that. It's one of my favorite things. It's one of the things I look forward to on Friday.
Yeah. You know, the thing about you is that I wonder how much of a stone breaker you are in a locker room. Were you that type of guy in a locker room? Because since you've gotten out of football, you know, you can twist them a little bit. Were you that kind of dude in the locker room?
I really, really wasn't. No. just with my good friends like you and Tyler.
What unleashed you here?
You. I have you to give the credit. Give all the credit to you because of that.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll take it. Let's go to Chris in King of Prussia. Chris, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Chris.
Hey, how are you guys?
What's up, Chris? How you doing?
Can I ask Brian to call real quick? A question real quick?
Sure.
Hey, what are your thoughts of that – I'm trying to think. They traded Mikal Bridges for Zaire Smith. How bad was that? Wouldn't he look great on Sixers?
Wait, you're asking a Villanova guy that question?
Yeah.
What's his answer going to be?
And he left out the first round pick.
Yeah, he got a first round pick in there too, Chris.
Yeah, but he put 22 on them the other night.
Yeah, no. He's a better player than Zaire Smith.
Yeah, and where's Zaire Smith now?
Yeah, that was a mistake. Zaire Smith was a mistake. But you got a draft pick that helped you get Tobias Harris.
The worst part about that whole deal in my mind was that they had his mom on TV. She's so excited. He's a Sixers employee.
Yeah.
And then they pulled a trailer. That's the worst part with me. And she seemed like such a nice young lady, too.
Yeah, they made a bad judgment on Zaire Smith.
Yeah, that was bad. He would be great in a Villanova, in the Sixers uniform,
he'd be better than Zaire Smith.
Thank you.
All right, Chris. Now since he brought up Villanova, interesting because what happened with college football and these conferences bailing out, three of the Power Five, however, still going to play, which I find really interesting. Now, they shut down, Villanova's been shut down as well for the season.
Yeah, they have. Yeah.
All right, so if I'm putting myself in your shoes here. Here you are, you're a future NFL player, you're going into your senior year with all this acclaim. How would you have handled this?
Well, I think as a player, first of all, I would be disappointed because I would want to play. And listen, a player's job is to play, whether they're playing in college or high school or in the NFL. That's their job. And obviously I'm using that word loosely because we know that high school and college kids are not getting paid. So they're thinking, play football, I'm not worried about anything else. And I think at some points in life, you need people with that are a little bit further away from the situation to give you a little bit more clarity. And so as a player, I absolutely would want to have to play. Absolutely. Now, if I'm going to be a senior and now they're moving the football into the spring, there's no way that I'm playing, especially if I have the ability or forethought that I'm going to get drafted. Mm-hmm. If I'm thinking I'm going to get drafted, I'm not going to play because at that point, there's just not enough time for me to remedy anything that is injured, anything that is beat up before the draft, before the combine, before I would have to go play for my monetary future. And so you have to make a business decision at that point because it's just a little bit too close. And so that's the way that I would call it. And that's the way I see it. If you're a player that at least has the ability, you know, you're getting drafted in the first three, four rounds, then that's the way that I would look at it.
All right, let me change the circumstances. Now, Brian Westbrook has established himself as a player who is going to be dynamic, but it's not quite there yet. Your potential is not fully tapped. And this was the year that it was going to be tapped. So would you look to, and now the Division I schools have realized they made a mistake, would you have explored a transfer to one of those Power Three conferences that have not elected to opt out?
Now, that's interesting. If I had a, and obviously this is never the possibility, never the truth. If I had an ability to come in and I knew that I was going to be a starter and this is my opportunity to showcase my skills, absolutely. I would. Because this may be an opportunity that you never get again. And this is, it could be a, I don't know, $25, $50 million decision for you.
It's also in the face of the pandemic. So that's why I asked you the question where you're putting it on the scales here.
Yeah, I think if I'm 20 years old, 21 years old, making that decision, I'm saying, you know what, I'm going to go try to play football at, I don't know, in one of these big schools so that I can try to make it to the NFL. That would be my thought process at 21 years old. Again, at 40, my thought process mm-hmm. is totally different.
Yeah, that's like Mississippi gone. State gets in touch with you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm gone.
You're gone.
I'm gone. Okay. Yeah. Right. Because that gives me the opportunity to fulfill a dream, and I may or may not have that same opportunity again. So I would be gone, and kind of roll the dice, just like all those three of those Power Five teams are doing. They're just kind of rolling the dice and hoping for the best. And I think everything that you're pointing to, besides what the coaches and those power, five schools have thought about, points the opposite way, that it's not going to turn out great for some of your student athletes.
And just think about it. Had you done that, you would have lost all those great Villanova money connections. All right? You would have turned your back on the school that formed you.
Oh, my goodness. I would not have been able to live with myself. But if I had to go the chance to go to Alabama and then get a big-time first-round contract, it would have all made sense.
You could buy Villanova at that point.
Well, that would have actually worked out pretty well for Brian, because that's the year where Marshall Faulk beat the Eagles in the NFC title game and was playing. So running back was very big at that. You know how it's ebbs and flow. Mm-hmm. If Brian has a Villanova that type year at a bigger school, he definitely is a first-round pick.
He
definitely would have been a first-round pick. Yeah, now, although he would have been playing with Leach if he goes to Mississippi State, and he doesn't feature running backs. You may be better off going to Ole Miss with Kiffin.
All right, Ole Miss. You got Ole Miss.
No matter what,
it's a bad state. So, So we had a caller the other day. We got to get to a break, but I have to fess up here. I'm diving out Tyron because he kind of sniffed at it. And I didn't. A guy called and said, who's the only player, Division I player, to have 1,000 yards rushing and 1,000 yards receiving in a season?
Mm-hmm.
And did you knew that was you, right?
Yes, I did.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Tyrone goes, that's not Division I, though.
Oh, my goodness. I knew it. Oh, man.
And I go, listen, that's the college. Tyrone didn't want to hear it.
It's a great accomplishment, but it was one double A at the not one A. That's my only point.
Hard to do on any level. Hard to do in the only. And I'll tell you this as well, Tyrone. I had like 890 yards on return yards too. So if I had a couple more yards return yards, I would have had 1,000.
Listen, man, you have my total admiration. Now, my man over here, he kind of sniffed at it a little bit.
I'm not surprised.
My brother went to William & Mary, so I've always been sort of hardwired to hate Nova and Westbrook.
The truth. I knew there was something else in there. There was something else.
All right, let's take a break. 610-632-0975. On the other side, Ben discussion. Westbrook wants to move him out. We'll talk about it.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
It's 4:46. Mike Missinelli Show. Brian Westbrook for about 10 more minutes. All right, Brian, let's get into it. Now, you are ready to pull the plug on Ben Simmons. You would trade him.
Yes.
You're based on the premise that he just is not going to shoot.
No, he's not going to shoot at all.
Okay.
We know that. We know that already, and that's not going to change.
See, I can't grasp that yet.
What do you mean?
I can't grasp that. It's never going to happen, that he's never going to shoot. I need more time to see it, because what I'm doing then is cutting off my nose to spite my face.
Well, no, you're not cutting off your nose. Mike, this is what you're doing. You're saying, you know what? This is just not in his nature to do that. It's not in his nature to shoot a pull-up jumper.
Well, I find it hard to believe that any player in the NBA cannot do that. I can't fathom it. So,
well, how many years has it been here? Three?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you've seen it for 3 years. I mean, what do you mean it's hard to fathom he'll continue to do that? Yeah, because here's the thing. You said it after his first year. Then you said, you know what? His second year, he'll come back shooting. Okay? Well, everybody gives you the benefit of the doubt. He's a rookie. Second year, he gets put out of the playoffs. You got to be able to shoot the ball. That's important.
I am totally agreeing with you. I can't stand the fact that he doesn't want to shoot it. What I'm saying to you is it's more valuable to keep him and hope that it will happen soon rather than to move him and get 50 cents on the dollar.
Well, I don't agree with that. I think that what you have to do is you move him because he is a valuable player. And other teams feel the exact same way as you. You know what? We can turn him in. Brett Brown wasn't doing Ben Simmons justice. We can turn him into a scorer. We can turn him into a shooter. Other teams feel that way. And we have to be able to, probably in the worst words, we need to be able to prey on their thought process that they can change Ben Simmons into a shooter and try to get a couple players for him. And I'm not saying that they had to be top 15 players, but we need two players for Ben Simmons. And they have to be top 30, top 40 players in return. That's what the idea has to be. But they have to be good fits for Joel Embiid. They have to be guards that can get their own shot, that can drive to the bucket and dish the ball. And they have to be good shooters. You have to be able to do that to be able to play with the big man on the inside. That's just how basketball
works. Yeah, I'm not ready to admit it. Maybe I'm wrong, because what I see, I think you're not giving him enough credit for the dynamic things that he does that nobody else in the league can do.
No, I appreciate what he can do. I think it works out great. Well, here's the thing. That works out great if you don't have Embiid, right? Him and Embiid, what Ben does well and when Embiid does well, they just don't work out together. It's like the quarterback that can throw, he's very, very accurate on the
And we,
the
and we have enough passes. Information to come up with that conclusion. Like another coach comes our way, which is likely to happen, you wouldn't want to, like, see that part of it?
I would be interested to see. But are you telling me that it's the coach and his schemes that are keeping Ben from shooting?
I don't know if it is or not, but I'm saying, like, a fresh breath of air might unearth something different.
I think Brett Brown has given Ben latitude to do whatever the heck he wants to do.
Well, there'll be another coach that won't give him that latitude. That'll maybe make him accountable for certain things. He's, in fact, said, I have to be made accountable for things. Maybe this guy doesn't make him accountable enough.
You can't tell me. If a player is saying that, I have to become accountable, that means he already knows it's an issue, then you should make yourself accountable for it.
I get
Mr.
it.
Player.
I got
that, that's easy. I'm going to tell you a couple of guys that I've thought of that I don't know. I mean, I don't know that these trades can get done. So let me start by saying that the contracts may or may not work out. But, I mean, just think about a guy like Oladipo. He's not a top 30 player right now.
Yeah, he is.
Let's say he's a top 20. Let's say he's a top 25 player. He's probably not higher than that. Let's say he's a top 25 player. If you can get Oladipo and then someone like DeMar DeRozan in exchange for Ben Simmons, wouldn't you want to do something like that? Wouldn't that work out better with Embiid?
Yeah, but you're not getting both those players.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying if you could, I understand that you can.
That's the thing. You're trading them to one team. It's got to be a three-way deal to satisfy.
It's going to have to be a 20-way deal if I do it my way. But I think, there has to be a way that you can figure out to get the players that complement and be better. Or you're telling me that you think that Ben Simmons will eventually
I'm sitting here for 2 years to wait for it. That's how much I think of what the other stuff that he does.
Well, then that means you're okay with losing in the first round of the playoffs for the next couple of years.
No, they're going to lose in the first round this year because they don't have them.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to lose in the first round of the playoffs next year.
Okay, and they'll lose in the second round. So you're okay with that?
Well, I don't know if they will. A new coach, maybe they don't. See, the uncertainty, I can't give them away before it's time because I'm going to regret it.
Yeah. There is a possible trade because Buddy Hield today, they asked him if he was happy with his rollout in Sacramento, mm-hmm. and he did not say yes. So Fox and Hield for Simmons. Mike, would you consider it?
I would consider it. I would probably say no.
But you would consider it before.
Because I liked De'Aaron Fox. You know, he was one of my
And
favorites.
Hield can really fire. Really yeah. fire. Like, he's arguably
the
best shooter.
I need 3 days of vacation to think about
that. All right.
Because it's intriguing.
Apparently, Hield wants out, but the money wouldn't work. And obviously, I wouldn't do Hield for Simmons straight up. That's a non-starter. But if you would give me Fox, and the Kings have made a lot of weird deals.
Yeah, but I'm not going to like in Sacramento. You're not going to like that. That's yeah, good. Go ahead. All right, we're going to go to L.A. Keith from L.A., you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Keith.
Yeah, hey, Mike, you better get some ice on that shoulder, man. It's going to be awfully sore tomorrow.
For what reason?
From patting yourself on the back this morning with the hockey.
Well, I'm saying just a thank you, just a simple thank you card. I'm not asking for, you know, them to break their bank account for me here.
Yeah.
Keith, listen, there are certain things that I know that I've been valuable at, and that's one of them.
Well, that's good. That's good. You have been pretty right on when it comes to hockey. I give you that. I'm just giving you a hard time.
If I can't pat myself on the back, who's going to do it?
That's right. Probably right. Nobody.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Sixers have already screwed the pooch when it comes to Ben Simmons. First of all, when they drafted him, they wanted to get two dynamic players, but they got two players that don't fit together. Okay, that's one thing. Number two, I think that teams are not looking at Ben Simmons the way you and B. West think they might be now. I think they're looking at Ben Simmons right now as kind of damaged goods. He might have a little Markelle Fultz feel to him now because he's damaged mentally. And, you know, there may be a physical issue as well. So, you know,
this injury's not serious. Well, how's he damaged mentally?
Well, because the guy obviously has a mental block. He won't shoot the ball. I mean, the guy puts up all of
that
these.
That doesn't mean he's damaged. That means he's scared in some
way.
Not his game. That's what that is. It's not his game.
Yeah, it could be anybody's game. It's not that hard.
Well, I mean, if you're
putting really, it's not that hard. I'm not asking him to, like, pedal a unicycle with dishes on his head.
But Mike,
I know,
if it
Mike.
Wasn't that hard,
think
then he
about
would do
that.
It.
Yeah, think about what you just said. You're not asking me to do anything major, and he still
won't. That's why I believe he can do it because it's not that difficult. Mm. You know, if it was really difficult, I'd say it's a useless cause. But come on. All right. Well, anyway, this is an argument that will go on for the ages. Brian, you got to get back to the farm. What do you got to do? It's like dusk. You got to get the horses in the stable.
The
cowboys in the barn. What do you got to do?
Yeah, horses in the stable, feed them up a little bit. You know, we got a little baby here, so we just want to continue to handle her, make sure she's all right. But other than that, easy night for us.
All right, well, you relax this weekend, all right? We'll talk to you next week.
Take care.
There he is, Brian Westbrook, checking in. 610-632-0975. We go through the 5 o'clock hour. He's done with Ben. Done.
It's tough. I can't be done with him yet.
I can't either.
Unless the Suns call. Say, this guy wants out. You're the best we can get.
A Booker?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Well,
yeah.
Then I'm pulling the trigger because he fits perfectly with
Embiid.
Yeah,
he does.
Embiid.
All right. We'll roll into the 5 o'clock hour. And you got to get it. So tomorrow we're off. Anthony will be going overtime to lead you into the
Flyers.
Flyers in the afternoon.
Yeah, Canadians game 2 at 3 o'clock.
3 o'clock tomorrow. All right. The Mike Missanelli Show continues after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.